God's wonderful, amazing love, right? Some of the highlights that I heard this morning was, He loves you more than any other person in this world loves you. Another thing someone kind of said is that His love is unchanging. Just real quick, what are maybe two or three other things that you heard about His love today, either in song or in a message, Eric, myself, about God's love?
Nothing satisfies like His love.
Okay, what's something else? Okay, the only way we can love our brother, our neighbor, is through the love of Christ. Right. Maybe one of Manuel. Okay, His love is so big, we can't even begin to understand it. Now, when we get to the other side of into heaven, we'll start understanding it more and more. But in this life, we're limited. But still, God wants us to understand more than what we do now. Somebody else. Okay, I like that. It's not conditional on how we act or anything. It's beautiful. Unlike humans. Tito. Okay. That's right. That's 1 John, that God is love, and if we don't have God, we don't have love. If we have God, we do have love. I added a little bit. Okay. Okay, great. Okay. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament for a few minutes this evening. Because the Old Testament is constantly speaking prophetically of everything that God's going to do when Jesus arrives with the new covenant. And the love of Christ cannot be described in human words. Nevertheless, it is being imparted to us as we learn to abide in His love. And as we do that, we're going to learn and experience so much more. But that has to happen supernaturally. We can't do it ourselves. Well, there's an Old Testament word that tries to describe God's love that will be completed in the love of Christ. And it's often in English translated loving kindness. It points to the love of Christ. In fact, we only know of His loving kindness as we know Christ. So the word for loving kindness, I think it's up here, it's pronounced hesed. Let's try to, everyone say that, hesed. It rhymes with blessed. That's a good way to remember it. Blessed, hesed. Okay? And that's the Hebrew of it. And it's a word that there is no perfect translation in English, or in Spanish, or in French, or really any other language in the world. It's unique. In fact, there's no human words that can kind of describe the whole essence of this. It's only in Hebrew. Sometimes it's translated His mercies. Sometimes it's translated His goodness. Sometimes it's translated His kindness, or His favor, or His faithfulness. Yes, all those. One way I like sometimes that some translations use it, they say His unchanging love. Loving kindness is a word that was actually made up in English to try to describe hesed. But hesed is one of the most important words in the Old Testament and one of the most common. And loving kindness, even though it's kind of made up for English, there's a lot of even translations in English that don't use it because they say, well, it's not used in normal everyday language. And it's not. And so it's a problem for translators. They can't get their arms around it. So I want us to talk a little bit about hesed, loving kindness. Okay? In Spanish, by the way, how is it translated? Who knows? It's translated several ways, but it's usually, who knows? Yes. Sometimes subondad, but what's that? Avesis, yes. That's probably the most common. It just can't, there's no Spanish word, there's no English word, there's no human word that can describe it all. And it's a word prophetic of the love of Christ. Now, I want us just to read a few verses that talk about hesed, okay? Let's start with Exodus 34, verse 6. And to give you the background of this, Moses is saying, Lord, I would like to see your glory. I'd like to see you. God kind of responds, you can't see me, because if you were to see me, I'm so holy, you would just... yeah, just melt. You just kind of just burn up, you know. And he says, but I'd like to at least see your glory. He said, no, you can't do that either. And I'm summarizing the story. He said, finally the Lord says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass by. You hide behind this rock, and I'm just going to pass by real quickly. And that's what he did. And as he passes by, let's look at verse 6. It says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant and abounding in hased and truth. Actually, all those words describe that loving kindness. In other words, when God said, I'm going to reveal just a little bit of me, he uses that word hased, loving kindness. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. It says, then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Basically, he's saying, my favor is going to be on you because of my loving kindness. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock and the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. That's God's loving kindness. He's going to bless us. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says, this is Nehemiah saying, I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness, has said for those who love him and keep his commandments. And then in the Psalms, it talks a lot about the loving kindness. We all know, or many of us know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you know how it ends? Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. That's a promise. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Not just this life, but in the next life. Because of his loving kindness. Because of his great love. Psalm 25. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimony. Just think about that. We talk about the path of the Lord that he has for Israel, and the path of the Lord that he has for Jorge, and the path of the Lord he has for Milady and Nelson and all of us. It's a path that's different, right? But all his paths are filled with his loving kindness if we're faithful in following him. I mean, what a promise. Psalm 31, verse 7. It says, I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in his loving kindness. That's something that should be happening every day of our life. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. Even if it seems like the enemy's all around me, I'm going to know his loving kindness. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 32, verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, hopefully that's us, loving kindness shall surround him. It's almost like everywhere I go, his loving kindness is there. In fact, Psalm 23 says, it's going to follow me all the days of my life. Just think, wherever you go, whatever you do, as long as you're following the Lord, his loving kindness, his favor, his grace, his abundance, his unchanging love, all those things that we can't even describe, the love of Christ, is just going to follow us. That's the promise that we have. Psalm 42, verse 8. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. Don't you like that? That God commands his loving kindness to be over you and around you. I don't know about you, but that's the love of Christ. And God's up there commanding. It's going to happen over Malachi. It's going to happen over Simeon. It's going to happen over Chewy and Eric and every one of us. That's his loving kindness. Psalm 52, verse 8. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. And what happens if I'm in the house of God? I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever, because you can trust it. You can trust in his loving kindness, his hesed. Psalm 57, verse 10. I like this one. For your loving kindness, for your hesed, your love, Jesus, is great to the heavens. And your truth to the clouds. In other words, it's just as far as you can, as far as we know. By the way, the heavens, we used to kind of think of the heavens as being, okay, a few stars here and a few stars there. But now we know that there are trillions and trillions of stars that just go on forever and ever and ever. That's how much Christ's love is. That's how much his loving kindness is. Psalm 63. Verse 3, I like this one. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Get that? His loving kindness is better than life. If you had to choose living or his loving kindness. So I will bless you as long as I live because of his loving kindness. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul, someone kind of mentioned, I think it was Benjamin, about being satisfied. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. That's why we can dance and praise God and shout. It's because of his loving kindness. That's why we do it. Psalm 86. Verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness. To who? To all who call upon you. Are we calling upon the Lord? Yes. Then we can realize he's going to forgive us. He's good to us. He's abundant in loving kindness. Verse 13, same chapter. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. You know what I like about that verse? It's not just talking about loving kindness in general, but it says his loving kindness toward me, Mike, is great. And he's delivered my soul and your soul. It's great for you. Verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. All these are that one word that there's no human words that can describe it. The closest is this Hebrew word, hesed. Psalm 100, a lot of us know Psalm 100. It talks about, verse 5, it ends with, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. His hesed, his loving kindness, it was good in David's generation, and Jesus' generation, and Paul's generation, and in your generation, my generation. Psalm 103. It says, verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. So we see that his loving kindness, it follows us all the days of our life. It surrounds us. He crowns our head with it. We can't get away from it. It's always there. That is Christ's love, the love of Christ. Because loving kindness is a prophetic word to describe what's coming later. Verse 17, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Everlasting to everlasting. That means it never ends. Psalm 108, verse 4. For your loving kindness, your hesed, is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches the skies. Psalm 136. I don't have a slide for this, but if you have your Bibles, look at Psalm 136 real quick. Psalm 136. Verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. It never ends. Then look at verse 2. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 3. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Every verse in this psalm speaks of his loving kindness. It's amazing, isn't it? Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear your loving kindness in the Lord, for I trust in you. Teach me the way I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Now, I think you're getting the idea that it's in there a lot. It is mentioned another, get this, 200 times just in the book of Psalms that we didn't read. Do you think God thinks this is important? Of course he does. Does he want us to, maybe we're not going to understand it fully, but at least start trying to understand it and appreciate it and embrace it? Of course he does. And the question we need to ask ourselves, do we know his loving kindness? Do we know his hesed? Are we trusting in it? Because it talks a lot about that. May we become men and women and young people who walk in his loving kindness, his hesed. Let's face it. Just think about the world out there. The world is full of hatred, suspicion. What else? Confusion, bitterness. Someone else. What's the world full of? Okay. Fear, lies, greed. Jealousy, competition, corruption. Yeah, there's some of that. Okay. Betrayal. Yeah, I was trying to think traitor. Yeah. You know what? We could probably go on for another hour. In fact, we know those words pretty well because we see it all the time, don't we? Hate. But his loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. And God is saying, I want to shower you with my loving kindness. I want to surround you with it. I want it to follow you. I want to crown your head with it. I want you to know it and live it. I want you to trust it. And it's going to be from everlasting to everlasting. And it comes as you know the love of Christ. John 15. We talked about it this morning. Let's just look at it once more here. John 15, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Or he could say, abide in my loving kindness. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in your love, his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? But here's the question. How do we abide in his love? That's a big question, all of us. Because right here at this retreat, we're surrounded by other brothers and sisters who want the same thing. But when we go back, we're going to be facing people at work, you know, just maybe in family or whatever. They're not like that, are they? So how do we abide in his love? There's no formula for that. Nobody can do it for you. You have to start seeking him. But just a few things that I think help. One, we've got to learn to abide in Christ, because that's what John 15 is about. Abide in me and I in you. And then he says, and then if you abide in me, you're going to start abiding in my love. But abide means to live there. It doesn't mean go visit every now and then on Sunday morning or once a year at a retreat or at house church. It's all the time. And by the way, abiding in Christ is the pathway to abundant prayer, bearing fruit, fullness of joy. Abiding in Jesus leads us to abiding in his love. I think another thing is keeping his commandments. That's what he says right here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, we saw even in the Old Testament, it said, if you keep my covenant. But now that we're in the new covenant, it's the words of Jesus. He says, my commandments. What are some of the commands of Jesus? They're pretty radical. Love one another. Love your enemies. Love the Lord with all your heart. Deny self. Take up your cross. Walk in humility. Holiness. Be free from the love of money. Now, the problem, of course, is that we can't do it in ourselves, right? But he says that if we can learn to abide in him, and if we start learning to abide in his love, then we can do that. So it's all intertwined. It's not like we do this and don't do that. We do all of it. And of course, when Jesus came and died at the cross for our sins, he gave us new life in Christ. And with that new life, with Jesus living inside of us, all of a sudden we can live the life that he's called us to do. But it's important that we receive him and we receive his eternal life, the gift that he gave to us. And then, let me just say one other thing here, is that faith is necessary. Faith is necessary in everything, isn't it? In fact, Romans 1:17 says, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." And this whole thing about abiding in his love, you have to have faith. It's not going to happen overnight that you could be living in the abundance of his love. But you can say, "Lord, that's the life that I choose. I want to live that way. And Lord, I take that step of faith. I'm going to start following you. Lord, will you help me?" And he will. Revelation, and this is probably maybe the main verse I want to share tonight. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's an invitation. Actually, Jesus many times in his life gave an invitation. "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Come to me," you know, many times. But here he says, and this is Jesus talking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." That's a beautiful invitation, isn't it? It's an invitation he's been doing for 2,000 years. By the way, what does an invitation sound like practically? We've probably all been there where we sense in our hearts that God is speaking to us. Anyone ever have that? I hope so. Maybe it's happening tonight. We sense he's calling me. I feel like God wants me to do more, be more, follow him. Sometimes we can't even put it in words, can we? But we feel like he's drawing us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to say, "Listen." And at a retreat like this, when we get away from the distractions of the world, many times we hear him speak to us and invite us. "I want you to experience more. I want you to come to me in a deeper way." And in Revelation 3:20, I'll look at it again. It says, "I stand at the door. I'm knocking." He's knocking on the door of our heart. You know, sometimes we talk about we come to Jesus. And there is, in some ways, we do go to Jesus. But really more important, he comes to us. Because we're doing our own thing. And we kind of think about when we first came to know Christ, usually it's not like we were seeking him. He sought us. And that's what he does. We don't deserve it, but he's standing at the door and saying, "Mike, or Patty, or Jamie, or Irma, I'm knocking at the door." And he says, "If you open the door, if you hear my voice," and that's, I think that's what we're doing. We're talking about, are we hearing God's voice? Then what do we have to do? We need to open the door. That's by faith. And he says, "I'll come into you. I'll dine with you. You with me. We will begin a relationship." What is Jesus speaking to you this weekend, tonight? Here's some possibilities. He could be saying, "I want you to follow me. I want you to give your life to me. I want you to receive the gift that I went to the cross for. It's the gift of eternal life. And I'll come into you. And I'll give you new life. I'll transform you." You might say, "But Jesus, I don't really understand everything you're going to do." Well, yeah, you don't at first. But he says, take that step of faith. It's like when Peter saw Jesus. Peter was in the boat. Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, call me. Let me kind of come out to you. He said, okay, come. And Peter actually starts walking on the water, doesn't he? And then he starts kind of looking, hey, it's perfect. It's really deep here. It's dark outside. And then he starts getting afraid. And what happens? He starts sinking. And immediately Jesus there pulled him up. But Peter took a step of faith. I believe it's very possible tonight that God is calling some of you. He's speaking, I want you to follow me. Give your life to me. Here's another possibility of what he might be speaking to you. I don't know. But you know, the last month we've talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the path of getting the power of the Lord to be able to be a witness for him, to share the gospel. And I've encouraged people, be praying about that. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, I don't understand all that, but I want to be filled. I want to be immersed, baptized with Jesus' Holy Spirit. Maybe that's one thing that you're hearing God say. Here's another one that could affect some of you. I've drifted away. Maybe nobody knows, but in my heart, I know I've drifted away. And you know that. And what is Jesus saying? Come home. Come back to me. Because he's abundant in loving kindness. He's always willing to forgive. We read it so many times already. And we didn't even read most of the verses about it. But he's saying, I want you to come back. And again, maybe nobody even knows that you've kind of drifted. But inside you know you've drifted. God is calling you. Come back to me. He's saying, open the door. I was in there once, but somehow I'm on the outside again. I want to come back in, you know. Open the door. Now, could Jesus just slam that door in? Yes, he could. But he doesn't do that because that's the step of faith. Open the door and let him come in. Maybe he's speaking something else to you. Maybe it's some other commitment. Maybe it might be letting go of something. Maybe there's a bitterness in you. Nobody else knows about it, but you know about it. Or maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's a hardness. Is he speaking tonight? Let go of that. Give it to me. Maybe he's speaking to you about making a more solid commitment to grow in the Lord, to read the scriptures more, maybe be a part of a house church. Yeah, maybe you've been kind of a part. Maybe you even go, but maybe your heart hasn't been in it. We're starting right now a new series on the life of Jesus. Maybe this is a good time for you to say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to make a fresh commitment. I want to learn about your life. I want to learn about what you did here on earth. I want to learn about everything you taught. I want to do that. I'm making that commitment. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Now I've just given you about 5 or 6 possibilities. There could be other things. But is he speaking to you? Is he calling you? Is he knocking at the door? I don't know what he's knocking about, but my guess is that you do, and you do, and you do, and you do, every one of us do. I would like for us to pray now. And I want us to, we're just going to take a few minutes, and I want you to, everyone to bow their heads. I want you to respond to what God is knocking about. I want you to open the door. Open the door is basically, Lord, I open the door. Now you have to really mean it. It's got to be more than words. I want you to come into my life. I want to receive your gift of eternal life. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want you to come back in. Somehow I've drifted away. All these things that we've talked about. Can we do that now? Let's pray. And just, I'm going to pray in a few minutes, but I want you to pray first because I don't know what you need to pray for. Lord, we thank you for a time like this retreat that we can get away from the distractions of the world. And at this point, Lord, I really believe that you are speaking to people about some of these things we're talking about. And just while your heads are still bowed, I just want to ask you, just as a step of faith, if you know that God is speaking something to you, he's knocking at the door on some area of your life, I'm not going to ask you which one, I'd just like for you to raise your hand, just while we have our heads. Okay, oh, wow, quite a few people. Okay, amen, amen, wow, amen, amen. Anybody else while we still have our heads bowed? Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord, you know exactly what everyone is speaking to you about right now. They're opening their hearts. They're opening the doors. And Lord, your promise here is that if we open the door, you will come in. You will dine with us and us with you. You'll have that communion with us. And Lord, that's what starts that life of abiding in your love. That's what we want. Lord, we're all at different places. I know that. All at different stages, places in our journey with you. But all through our spiritual walk, you're knocking. And Lord, we just open the door now to what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank the Lord now. For by faith, you know he's coming into your heart in a different way, a fresh way. He's knocking. Open the door now. Lord, just thank you for your goodness, for your loving kindness. Lord, that we cannot, Lord, for your love that we cannot be separated from. That loving kindness that goes from everlasting to everlasting, that surrounds us, that crowns us, crowns our heads. It follows us all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's have the worship team come back up and lead us in another time of worship. And let's really praise Him for what He's doing in our lives. It's not always happening in one day or 2 days, but we're in the process of Him working inside of us. And we can rejoice. That's many times it says, because of your loving kindness, I'm singing your praises. That's what we're doing. Let's do that, and then we're going to just do one other thing. Let's just praise Him first.